Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, Carrie Bickmore.
Do you know it's Thursday?
Oh, yes, it is. Hello, oh. Tommy Little.
Oh, Friday Eve.
Did it feel like a quick week?
No, but you know what's very exciting? And Buzz, I'm assuming you'll be shattered about your Blue Boys last night.
I didn't sleep till 2 a.m. last night. I just couldn't get over it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was that fired up because it happened in the last 2 minutes of the game. Of course, we're talking about the State of Origin. Me being a New South Wales fan, wasn't too happy.
State versus state, mate versus mate. And it was a fair dinkum football fairy tale, wasn't it, Buzz? JT injured for the first game, where, of course, the Queenslanders lost, and then kicks the winning conversion with just minutes to go to put the Maroons over the line.
Oh. Far out. You've even got me interested.
It was.
I was working last night. Well, I missed out.
It was amazing. It was amazing. Even if you're not into sport, I would challenge you to watch the last 5 minutes of that and not be heavily involved. And the great thing is, of course, they always have three games, and this means that the third one is actually the decider.
Worth something.
Yeah, because often it's a dead rubber and it's like, but yeah. Exciting times.
There we go.
Yeah, because
tell
here
me something
we go.
Exciting about today. What have we got coming up? Oh, next we've got something interesting we want to talk about. We're going to get good friend Waleed to talk about something that happened on the project last night.
Yep.
That's very close to his heart.
Yep.
And I think he can enlighten all of us.
Great.
Including Pauline Hanson,
great,
if that's possible.
All right, next we chat with Waleed.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, I had the pleasure of working with you on the project last night. Pete was sick and you joined us. You're joining us tonight as well.
Yes.
Great fun show. But there was a moment during the show that we often run news, controversial news, you know, stuff that's happening in the world. And Pauline Hanson often pops up, often making controversial comments. But
something like her.
Last night she made some controversial comments that I think hit a nerve for a lot of people. And certainly as you heard them, I think everyone around looked at each other just feeling uncomfortable. They're just, they're a horrible way to talk about children. She was talking about autistic children and suggesting that children with autism should be removed from mainstream classrooms so the other kids can get on with becoming great. And I always feel a tad uncomfortable when I hear this because I've had the great pleasure of meeting Waleed, who I work with every night, son Zaid, who had autism.
Yep.
And he, you know, plays with my son Ollie. And my experience with autism is very different to the experience that Pauline Hanson seems to have with children with autism. And so I wanted to bring Waleed Ali into the studio to talk to us about it because I think there's so many misconceptions out there about autism. And I think it would be great for all of us to understand it better, to understand what these children face, what families with autism face, and how it feels when you have people like Pauline Hanson who don't understand, just flying off and making comments like that. So welcome to the studio, Waleed Ali.
No worries. It's good to be back here.
So talk to us about your son, Zay. Tell us a little bit about him first.
Well, so he's high-functioning, which means that so he has autism. He's been diagnosed with autism, but it would be hard to spot unless you really had him side-by-side with a kid of the same age and had some really careful comparisons. But, you know, for us, it showed up in his unbelievable obsession with trains, for example. It showed up in the early years when we would tell him off and he would look at us blankly like, why are you making these noises at us? So he wouldn't pick up sort of the social
the
cues.
The tone, that, right. Yeah.
It was just little things like that.
Because we were talking about the train thing when I first met you because Ollie loves trains and they kind of connected playing trains. But you were saying the love of trains and the obsession with trains. You were travelling or something and you remember his ability to remember all the subway stations and how everything interconnected to each other was extraordinary.
Lots of kids like trains. But this is next level, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
He will know everything about it. He can tell you about how many doors there is on this particular carriage that they use in the tube, but not on that one. And this one has the red doors and this one has whatever. He can name cities by trains. He wants to visit cities based on what trains they have there. It's all across it. And he still has that. And now his obsession is really with sport. So if you want to talk soccer, he can name this player. Like, he's all over it. So it's
did you coach his obsession to be the same as your obsession?
No, because I don't mind trains, but I'm only mildly interested in
them.
You can just tell when there's sort of, he dives really deep into these sorts of things. But it's the social or non-verbal stuff, the cues that kind of get missed, because really what happens with autism is that people process things in a different way. So they just, you kind of have to be quite literal with them when they're really little because they don't actually understand what you're talking about. So for example, one of the things when he got the diagnosis that we had to learn how to do was play with him differently. If you're sitting down with a kid and you say you're playing trains, sometimes you will talk in an imaginative way. You'll say, where do you think this train might be going or whatever it is? if you're talking to a kid with autism, what that does is they don't actually understand that you're talking about something other than what's going on.
What they can see.
And so that means that they might get delayed language acquisition, because one of the ways kids learn language is by watching you do something and describe it, and then they learn to attach that linguistic label to the action that's going on. But if you're constantly talking about other things that are not happening to try to be imaginative with it, they don't ever get that correspondence.
Them. Right.
So that, you know, so it's little things like that. And so we just noticed after a while, we just thought there's something, he's not picking up language in the way that we thought, little things like that. And then that we ultimately went on this very lengthy pathway and got the diagnosis in the end.
And you talk about him being high functioning. That's the thing. When I spend time with him, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
He's an incredible little boy, but there is obviously a spectrum. Yeah. In terms of being in a classroom and interacting with children, where do the challenges come?
So this is one of the problems with autism, and indeed one of the problems with what Pauline Hanson said about it yesterday. It's not that it's never true that it can be really difficult for teachers or whatever. It's that the experience of autism is so diverse that you can't possibly categorize it in this way. So there's this saying that goes around amongst people who either have children with autism or are experts in the area, and they say, if you know one person with autism, then you know one person with autism. It's incredibly diverse. So there are some who find it very difficult to speak. There are some that are hypersensitive to audio, for example. They just hear things really, really loudly. They get very easily
distressed by it.
Because of that. There are some, and Zaid was kind of in this category, which is a lot of fun when he was a kid, who just want constant physical pressure. They want constant physical contact because that something about the wiring in their brain means that's how they process the world. That's how they understand where they exist in space, is to constantly have things touching them, right? So he would jump off couches just so he could hit the floor really hard because he liked the sensation. Not land on his feet. He wanted that sensation. He used to ask us, can you just cover me with pillows and just lie on me? He just loved that pressure.
Yeah, right.
And he's kind of a bit past that now. But, you know, it's all those sorts of things. That it's just different. There are a million different ways in which these kids learn about the world, but they're ways that are not necessarily shared by a lot of kids. And for some, it can be actually quite difficult then to be in a classroom environment, and they might need special schooling.
Mm.
But for others, if they've got an aide or even if they've just got a teacher who's just a bit switched on and attentive to it, they're fine. In fact, they can thrive because often, and this is the case with what used to be called Asperger's, they're actually really, really good at school in some cases.
Yeah,
they can learn in ways that other kids simply can't sometimes. So it's a really diverse set of experiences.
So that might have answered my question already.
Back to Carrie then.
I wanted to know, because that spectrum is so large, at what point do you think parents need to cater their learning differently to their kid? Like, at what point do they go, okay, my son is a bit more autistic than I thought, or a bit further along the spectrum than I thought, so I actually have to look at alternative, you know, methods for education and things like that?
Well, the practical truth of it is that if you are alive to this possibility and you go see specialists and whatever, they'll actually give you everything.
Right.
They'll give you all the advice you need. So,
right.
For example, that thing I mentioned before about changing the way we play with our kids or our child because of this, that's something that we were told. It was kind of, I think it might have been a speech therapist at one point or whatever who just sort of said, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's very easy. It's easy to handle this stuff once you know what you're dealing with. But as long as you get that expert advice along the way, it's actually pretty straightforward.
Is there fear around the diagnosis? Is there a community, like as a parent, was it a relief to get the diagnosis or was it, how do you feel around that? Is it like, oh, I knew something wasn't right, here's an explanation, we can get on with things? Or because of societal views, did you feel like then you had a son who was going to be labelled for the rest of his
life? Well, it's funny. So for me, it was a relief. I actually thought, oh, great, the world makes sense again.
Yeah, right.
This all makes sense. And now we know exactly what to do. We can handle this. And he's thriving. He's doing really well. But I can imagine for other parents it wouldn't be like that at all. Because when you have a diagnosis, what that triggers in a lot of people's minds is, well, this is lifelong. And I suppose it kind of is.
Also the idea that it's a problem.
Yeah.
As soon as it's a diagnosis, it's, you know, your first thing you think of is diseases and eventually death and all these grim
things. Which is why, and I know you guys have run out of time soon, but which is why I think The New Zealand model is actually really good. So what happens in New Zealand is they don't care about the diagnosis. If your kid needs speech therapy, if your kid needs occupational therapy, whatever, you get it. Whereas here, one of the problems is without a diagnosis,
you can't access that.
It's hard to get access to those sorts of things. And so you end up running into this problem of labelling and so on. And so, you know, there's an easy way around this. The thing is, the underlying thing, and this goes for what Pauline Hanson's talking about as well, there are very easy fixes for a lot of these sorts of things. Mm. It's when you lump everything together and try to turn everything into a problem that is to be solved somehow or quarantined from things that are not a problem, that's when I think life starts to get difficult for people.
I was going to ask you just before you go if you had any comments or anything you'd like to say to Pauline Hanson, but we don't have time for the full list of things I think you'd like to say from over the years, so we'll leave it for another time. But thank you.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, I have just looked down at our run sheet and I noticed that you want to talk about Tommy in the movies because we went and saw a movie together yesterday, and I'm assuming this is that I watch movies too sexy and you've just got to tell me to calm down because otherwise women are going to be jumping all over me in the movies. Is that what it is?
No, nothing like that. In fact, it's the complete opposite. I discovered you come across as such a knockabout. You got your tats, your hard ass, you're out there on the weekends partying, drinking.
It's me.
You're a big wuss at the movies yesterday.
What do you mean?
We walked into a movie cinema and the first thing you said is, Is it scary? Is it
Mate,
scary?
I hate scary movies.
I don't like scary movies. I'm like, what am I taking my 9-year-old son?
I hate scary movies. They scare me. And then I think about it, I don't sleep because...
You're so scary that I'd be scared of you if you were walking down an alley at night. But yet you hate scary movies.
I hate scary movies. I sit there. The good thing about movies is I sit and I will shut my... If that music starts coming, like... and they start going outside and it's dark, I'm like, oh, nah, bro. And I just shut my eyes.
See, that's what I do. But I thought that's what I did. But you doing it just... Mm. The funniest bit then was this movie got a bit gory and they were showing this leg all cut open and blood. And you started covering your eyes and then opening the slits so you could kind of see through.
Okay.
And you were like, Hang on. And I'm like, it's just fake blood, mate. It's not real. Relax.
Can we bring this back to me watching movies sexy? Because you were meant to be watching the screen and not watching me.
Oh, but it was so much more entertaining watching you. Then came the out loud commentary. You started commenting. Do you do that when you go on dates? You were like, oh, no, he's not going to do that. Have I taken my grandfather to the movie?
I just couldn't believe when he took that tumble. I was like,
Then this poor man, I'm not going to give away what the movie was we were seeing or what happened in it, but this poor man who's already got the injured leg falls down an entire flight of stairs. I don't think in the whole 6 months we've done the show I've heard you laugh out loud, so loud for so long at the most inappropriate time.
Poor bloke's, his bone was sticking out of his leg.
It wasn't funny.
It was just funny because to me, I only saw that one level of staircase, but then all of a sudden it was like out of a comedy movie because all of a sudden when he got pushed down it, he went down like 17 flights of stairs. And I'm like, where did all these stairs come from?
But I just wondered, when you go on dates, right, do you play it cool or you like that on the date?
I would never go to a scary movie on a date.
What would you go see?
I don't think I'd go.
Like Love Actually or something?
No, I've never seen that. No.
Oh, yeah, we discussed that. That's ridiculous. So what about when you're watching like series on TV? Do you make sure someone's home so you don't get scared?
Yeah, or I'll have watched it first and I'll scan through to find the big scare. And you know why it's so good? Because then also you look like a genius because you're like, I reckon the bloke in the hat did it. And at the end she's like, how did you know that? And you're like, I watched it yesterday, you idiot.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
A bit disappointed you're not celebrating, Bickers.
What should I be celebrating?
You didn't know. Today's the day.
Is your birthday?
No.
No, we had your birthday earlier in the year. What's going on?
You didn't know? It is Naked Hiking Day today.
How could I not know that?
Yeah, gosh.
I love a naked hike.
Don't you?
Oh.
What I love about you when you naked hike is you still insist on wearing the boots.
Shoes?
The boots and explorer socks. There's no look quite like fully nude, but explorer socks and hiking boots. This is mainly focused for over in America because, of course, it's the summer solstice at the moment. It's their longest day.
Whereas we're having people that go swimming naked because it's the winter solstice in
Tassie. That's right. I don't know if you know yesterday. So we celebrated, we talked about the selfie day on the project
last night. It was World Selfie Day.
It was also Giraffe Day. It was International Yoga Day. So if you did see any giraffes out there in their active wear taking a photo, they're just celebrating all three at once.
Does every animal get a day?
I don't know. but I assume so by the amount that are kicking around. And I thought, give us a call, 131060. What day do you want to see? Because they're handing them out left, right and centre. If there's a day for hiking naked, you should be able to get a day for anything you want. Because you know what I'd love a day for?
What?
Porky pigging.
What does
I'd
that
love
mean?
What's porky pigging day. It's where you wear a T-shirt or something on your top, but nothing else.
Just naked?
Yeah, because that's what...
With your boots and explorer socks or just like nothing?
If you want, yes.
So where are you doing that in public? Do I have to see it?
on the day, if my day gets up, yes.
Right. I don't reckon your day's going to get up. Okay. Although if naked hiking's getting up, maybe.
What about wearing socks with sandals without judgment?
That's every day. Without judgment.
Yeah, because you always give me grief. Whenever I wear my slides with socks, you're like, here he comes.
No, without judgment. What about like a day where I just don't have to do the washing? I don't have to do anything.
Bickmore doesn't wash day.
I don't
Mum doesn't wash day.
Mum doesn't wash day.
How good's that? Mum doesn't do anything day.
Yeah. Is the world would literally stop. It would end.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be fun?
It would be.
Yeah, great. Anything else? What about massage a mate day? What about tell a mate?
Massage a mate day?
I don't know. I got desperate. What about tell a mate what you really think of them day? And there's no repercussions.
And what is that followed by end of 30-year friendship day?
Yeah, find a new mate day, which is the next day. Is there anything you've ever wanted to tell a friend that you've just gone, oh, God.
Oh, no, I'm pretty blunt.
Are you?
No. You wouldn't be blunt, though. Do you ever tell your friend anything bad?
No. I just look around for better mates.
I think you just pretend everybody's lovely. I've never heard you say a bad word about anybody.
Oh, mate, I talk some filth about you when you leave.
We got Caroline. It's all right. I've always got the mics on. I hear everything. Caroline in Sydney, what day do you want?
I'm in my car with my son, Riley, who I picked up from school, and we both thought chocolate day.
Oh, great. That's great.
We just can't have it at the moment because I'm not eating chocolate. We have to wait for July.
And so on chocolate day, do you reckon all those rules go, like, you know when you go to eat chocolate and you're just like, just one row, just one
corn? Oh, yeah.
You have chocolate for breakfast and then chocolate for lunch and chocolate for dinner. It's all about chocolate.
It's like you can have those chocolate pizzas. Have you ever had a chocolate pizza?
Caroline,
it is the most amazing thing you've ever had in your entire
Caroline,
life.
Caroline, this is going to rock your world and your son. It is Friday, 7th of July, is actually World Chocolate Day.
No.
Wow. It's July, buddy. World Chocolate Day.
We're going to celebrate that with you, Caroline.
Yeah.
We're coming back in July and we're having World Chocolate Day. That's
come
a date.
Come to our house and we'll have World Chocolate Day.
That's great. I love how the chocolate lovers, they've also snuck Easter in there as well.
Very good.
Hey, let's go to Sophie. Sophie, what day do you want to see?
I really like no bra days, to be honest.
No bra day. Me and you both, Soph.
But Soph, you can do that any day, can't you?
Well, not in public, no.
So, you can. No, honestly, I don't think people are going to complain.
But doesn't it depend on...
people with big boobs.
Yeah, Soph's packing some heat, I reckon.
Is she? I don't know. You need to ask Soph.
Sophie, you're packing some heat?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, good on you, Soph.
I thought only men packed heat.
Do they?
I don't know. Is that a weird experience?
I don't know, but men of certain age, I reckon they'd like appreciate a bra day. I'm seeing a lot of moobs around recently.
Man boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I reckon it's getting worse.
Oh, well, do we bra could double day. We could do that. Maybe we could do that with the chocolate day. You rock up to the chocolate party with no bra on.
Great. Of course, chocolate day will lead to more man boobs as well.
But that's fine because the point about it is there's several days in one day.
Should we
it
do
was
a
giraffe day, selfie day and hiking nude hiking day in one day. It's possible.
Great. So should we do a swap then? Just guys wear women's clothes. So you're no bra day, I'm rocking a bra.
Totally.
And just doing the fly's eyes out of the women's jocks. Gotta go, guys. See ya.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It's time for Bickmore's Bits.
Here we go now.
I always like to think if I was a rock star, what I'd have in my rider.
Oh,
if I could say, you know, there used to be people loved only green M&Ms and, you know, like certain stuff. But now, because in the olden days, the rock stars, it was all, you know, yummy food.
I thought it was all strippers and stuff.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the food in the rider. What are you talking about? The action in the rider?
I
just mean like it was always alcohol and, and bad food and yummy stuff. Whereas now they're all clean living.
Yeah.
They're all like got their kale milkshakes and their smoothies and their, you know, their sushi, right? So I was very interested to see what Ed Sheeran has in his rider. Apparently in his rider he has one bottle of Robinson's Orange Squash, 6 cans of Fanta Orange, picking up a bit of a theme there. He doesn't mind an orange drink. A jar of Manuka honey, which I'm guessing is for his voice.
Yes.
To make sure it's smooth.
Yep.
6 cans of Coca-Cola, 6 cans of Diet Coke, and 6 more cans of Sprite.
That's not a lot of clean eating.
No, but he likes to drink a bit. He must get thirsty.
Or he's smuggling in a flask of vodka and really having some fun.
Maybe that's for all of his mates as well. But it's very different to Katy Perry's because she has like Pinot Grigio spritzes and she has like dried fruit and edamame beans and really fancy stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's a man of the people.
Yes, he is.
let's talk Australia and where it sits in the world rankings of best places to live, right? We've always been quite up there, but we're doing something wrong because we've dropped 5 places in the survey of best places to live.
Where are we at?
We're currently tied with New Zealand. Ooh. To reach 9th overall.
Okay.
The best place in the world to live is Denmark.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about clean water, access to clean water, education, freedom of expression, all that kind of thing.
Denmark are windmills and wooden shoes.
But it also, but Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, Switzerland, they always get it because they're just such a place where you can be who you want to be and you've got good education and good health system and all of that.
It costs you $100 for a beer and... I'm quite happy about slipping down the scale.
Why?
Because I feel like the further we go down the scale, the less foreigners will try and buy houses here, so suddenly we'll be able to afford to buy some.
Do you reckon that's what's actually...
I don't know.
I don't think they're going, the foreigners that are buying the properties here are going, I've got to get up the best places to live index
number one. They're going, darling, we can't afford a one bedroom in Denmark. What do you know about Bondi? Let's do that. Also, did you know New Zealand, and I reckon this could push them above us if these people doing the cheeky ratings find out, do you know New Zealand have no snakes?
Do they?
Yeah, that's enough to push them above us.
So it's like a better version of Australia.
Just no snake, yeah.
Do you want to my favourite places I've ever been, best place in the world, Costa Rica.
Really?
The cleanest country in the world, most environmentally friendly. They've got, even though the country doesn't have a lot of money, their rich-poor divide is really low because the money is spread evenly. It's not held at the top. So people are happy. It's the happiest place in the world. The food is amazing. The people are amazing. The beaches are incredible.
Oh, well, if you love it so much, mate.
Why don't you?
And let's talk about something else I love very much, George Clooney. Oh. He is headed for a massive payday, and I mean massive. I had no idea that apparently he had a tequila company with Cindy Crawford's husband.
Yeah.
Did you know this?
It's called Domingos or something?
No, Casamigos. Oh. Casamigos or Casamigos.
Is that who they sold it to?
No.
Did they sell it to Domingo? Have I just made up a name?
I don't know what you're talking
about,
mate. It was bought by Diego, not Domingo.
Yeah. Both men's names.
That's when you try. It doesn't work when you try and do the news,
yeah? My dear friend, Domingo.
Anyway, that's not the exciting bit. They've just sold it. And do you know how much they sold it for?
Oh, well, I did read this news article. And judging by my asking, I know exactly $12,500.
$1 billion.
Close again.
He's if he needs $1 billion.
I know. The great thing about selling a booze thing for that much is you'd be like, let's celebrate by drinking the very thing that causes us to make all this money. It'd just be a vicious cycle.
He said, we're still very much part of Casamigos, starting with a shot tonight, maybe two.
My good friend, Domingo. Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. $500 down, you are, Miss Bickmore. Have you told the people what happened yesterday, or have you kept that under your hot little hat?
What do you mean what happened yesterday? You're talking about the other day where I bit into a donut that had chocolate in
no,
it,
I'm
and I didn't realise it had chocolate in it, so all of a sudden I've been... docked $500 unfairly.
No. I'm talking about yesterday when you consumed. If you have just joined us, Carrie's off chocolate for a month. I was off booze for a month, but I bought out of my deal and spent a fortune on beanies.
You broke within a day.
Well, it doesn't matter, mate.
And it's been 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks, and I haven't had chocolate other than the accidental donut that I had.
Yesterday, you consumed some chocolate. Did you or did you not? Because I came up with a little plan.
I didn't. Yesterday, I was tricked into eating chocolate.
Stop ruining the Mission Impossible.
Not even
music.
Eating. Drinking. It. Drinking chocolate.
What I did was
you
I spoke to Bradley. Bradley brings you a coffee in the middle of every show. Because granted, you are too busy to go get one. And I said to him, hey, Bradley, tomorrow we can raise money for charity together. I just need you to swap Carrie's coffee out for a hot chocolate. And he went, and then he delivered it. And we looked at each other and we gave each other a little wink. And then, like a sucker, you drank it. And this was the result.
What's that?
Oh, Bickmore, chocolate number two.
You are an asshole.
Got it!
I drank hot chocolate.
Got her a beauty. As you can see, very humble in victory.
I had one sip and then realised you had tricked me and did not drink the rest. That does not count.
Why does that not count?
Because I didn't choose to eat chocolate, drink chocolate.
It doesn't matter. Remember when we stated the rules? Do you remember? Do you remember that? You had a chance. We both stated our terms and we made them very clear. And do you remember what you said?
I don't know.
Well, let's check the tape. Give me your terms.
We'll just won't have chocolate for a month. I don't need no terms.
Okay, what's your fine if you do? Knowing that I'm going to speak to your partner daily.
Okay.
It's got to match
I'll
mine.
I'll have the same terms. $500 for a charity of my choice.
Mate, you've got
I'll
money
just make it my charity,
do.
Yeah? I'm not paying it.
There was that no rules about trickery being involved and not being involved.
But you should support when somebody's giving up their addiction.
Charity.
You should support them.
You should support those less fortunate than you.
I
and cop
am.
Up the $500.
Every bloody night. Thank
cop
you
up
very
the 500
much.
Bucks. So
I'm
you,
not paying it.
Why?
Because you tricked me into eating chocolate.
Yes.
I have. Do you know last night
you didn't
I went
say
home.
There was no tricking rule.
There shouldn't be a no tricking rule.
Next time,
we're
think of
friends.
That. We're friends.
We're
friends who like raising money for charity.
Oh,
she's $1,000 down.
I'm not paying it.
Oh, Miss Bickmore refuses to give money for charity.
It's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hey, touch this. Feel this.
Yeah.
Feel that.
Okay, what's going on here?
How good does that feel?
So at the moment, you can explain it, Tommy, because I'm confused.
Is it? Now, this is, well, I'm rubbing Carrie's leg. That's pretty plain to see. Is it because the pants you're wearing?
Aren't they the best feeling you've ever felt in your entire life?
They're incredible. Because they're, what are they made of?
I've rediscovered suede pants.
So they're made of suede.
I think they pretend. But.
And if that feels incredible. But can you explain to me then why you make me rub your leg like that every other day? When you're not wearing suede.
I have to say the discovery of suede pants has also led to the discovery of sweaty legs.
Oh, mate, I'd be a mess.
I'm really hot. I did think, why is it so hot today? And then I discovered that I'm wearing pants fit to go outside in Antarctica. But don't they look good?
They look great and they feel great. Is there a protocol? Like then, I use
If you rub my leg down, you got to rub my leg back up. Is that what you mean?
No, I use the back of my hand.
Yeah.
If I use the front of my hand,
it would have been creepy.
More creepy.
No, because I did ask you to do it. If you just came out of nowhere and started rubbing my leg, that would be next level creepy.
Okay.
And you didn't rub my leg anywhere inappropriately. It was like around my knee, and it was just a quick little. There's a lot of requirements there to stop it from.
So we do have to make it a community service announcement that if you see someone wearing suede, you're not allowed to rub them. Can you rub them?
No, you can't. You should not touch someone without their permission.
I tell you what, you can't do anything these days. You mean I can't just walk up to a stranger wearing a full suede suit and give them a good once over?
When was the last time you saw someone wearing a full suede suit?
It would have been in a movie, and I wouldn't have watched that movie for long. I don't reckon. What's going on tonight's show?
Not the project.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're on it. You tell me.
We are chatting to a superstar, a young Australian.
Oh, we are.
Angouri Rice.
Yes.
Angouri
Rice.
Oh, sorry. Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, apparently. And apparently her name is after a stretch of
coastline
in New South Wales, I think.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Up and comer. Been in crazy movies with like Ryan Gosling and...
So should...
Russell Crowe, I think.
I feel weird asking this, but should we end the show just by... me rubbing you?
What? Let's not do that.
Why not?
Because it'll just sound like this.
Oi, Buzz, you can have a rub. But Buzz, you can have a rub.
Oh, hang on.
No, I didn't
I'll tell you what, how
I
about
said
I...
not without permission.
I'll rub Carrie. Buzz, you rub me. I'm not wearing suede, but go for it, you handsome devil.
Let's not rub
not
anyone.
Just at the side, Buzz. Rub anywhere you want.
We are back tomorrow. We'll catch you tomorrow. Bye.
The Carrie and Tommy Catch-Up is ready to podcast now on Radio Apple. iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.